Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this fourth Sunday in Easter, which is Good Shepherd Sunday, is found in John chapter 10, verses 22 to 30. Then the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple area in Solomon's colonnade. So the Jews gathered around Jesus, asking, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I am doing in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is our text. Dear people of God, today is Mother's Day. People seem to really like Mother's Day. Do you know what day nobody likes? Father's Day. Why? Because fathers don't care about Father's Day. I don't want a bunch of worthless gifts and people calling me. I just want to know that everyone's okay, and that's enough for me. But Mother's Day is different. People care about Mother's Day. So remember your mother today. For Jesus, every day was Father's Day, mainly because his father was so awesome, way better than our fathers. What we have here is a little peek into the Trinity. And every time we get one of these peeks into the Trinity, we should always take advantage of it, because the Trinity is so awesome. It's so far beyond us. It's so mind-blowing that this chance to get a peek is a real treat, to see how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one person in three beings, or one being in three persons, rather. And today, what we notice is how they work together. In the Athanasian Creed, it says that in the Trinity, none comes before or after, none is greater or inferior, but all three persons are co-equal and co-eternal, so that the Trinity is worshipped in unity. The Trinity is always praising each other. Whenever the Father shows up in Jesus' ministry, what does he say? He says, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." The Holy Spirit is described in the Bible as working so that we all come to faith in Jesus. So also when Jesus speaks of the others, he speaks in glowing terms. He talks about how wonderful it will be when the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, as he spoke to them in the upper room. How the Holy Spirit would help his church and remind them of everything Jesus said and bless their work. And Jesus tells us here how great his Heavenly Father is. Now the question put to Jesus today is, are you the Christ? Now, this is as silly a question as it sounds. This question was not put to Jesus early in his ministry when nobody knew about him and people were actually interested in what this mystery man was all about. No. This was a question put to Jesus very late in his ministry. It's his last winter before his crucifixion in the spring. This is after it was very clear who Jesus is and what he was claiming. It was a question put to him by his enemies in order to catch him. Jesus had said many times who he is. He had given many proofs that he is the Christ of God, that he is the promised Messiah, that he is the very Son of God Most High. These leaders of the Jews didn't want Jesus' plain words so that they could write them down and take them home and study them and compare them to the scriptures and see if Jesus really was the Christ. No, no, no. What these guys wanted was a legal claim. They wanted a quote so that they could charge Jesus with blasphemy and have him executed. So Jesus answers their question in such a way that drives them crazy. They can't get a direct quote from him, but it's very plain what he's saying. If Jesus' Father is greater than anyone, then he must be God. And if Jesus' Father is God, then Jesus must be the Son of God. And if Jesus is the Son of God, then he must also be the Christ, because everyone in Israel knew that the coming Christ would be the Son of God as well as the Son of David. Jesus is the Christ, but he wouldn't say it in a way that would give his enemies this legal quote that they wanted. Jesus was not going to help them out. And in so doing, Jesus helps us out, for he gives us this beautiful description of him as the perfect good shepherd. Now, this is John chapter 10. This is the great good shepherd chapter of the Bible. The famous parts are earlier in the chapter. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Passages that we love. And now here, Jesus builds on that idea. These enemies of Jesus were not his sheep. They did not love him. They did not listen to him. Because that's what Jesus' sheep are, and that's what they do. They listen to him in every sense. Jesus' sheep gather to listen to his word. They listen to his word and they believe his word. They listen to his word and they take his word to heart. They listen to his word and they do what the word says. Jesus' sheep hear his voice and they are saved by it. These enemies of Jesus were not his sheep. And so Jesus did not help them, especially with their evil deed. You, however, are Jesus' sheep. You have come here to listen to his voice, and he gives you eternal life. Again, we read, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. You do not earn this eternal life. You have not worked for it. Jesus simply gives it to you. He does not give you the ability to be saved. He does not give you some magical power that you can walk yourself into heaven after he's merely opened the gates or something like that. No, Jesus does all the work. He is the one who gives you eternal life with no cost, no effort, no work from you. It is the gift of God. You are in his almighty loving hand. You are in the Father's almighty loving hand. It's the same thing, because it's the same Trinity. Different persons, same God. It's two ways to say the same wonderful truth. And Jesus said it this way, A, to confuse his enemies who have no idea what he's talking about, and B, to comfort you, doubly and triply. You are in God's hands. You are protected and saved and secure. Which brings us back around to the Trinity. The persons of the Trinity are not pitted against each other. They're not all trying to vie for your praise and worship. It's not like Jesus is out front, but what we really want is the Father or the Spirit who are behind him. No, they don't work that way. They are in perfect unity and are to be worshipped in perfect unity because they're working together in order to save our ruined souls. See, we don't understand the Trinity or how he works for a number of reasons. First of all, he is God. And who can understand the mind of God? God is great. We are little. We are not God. Also, we don't understand what unity is. Because in our world, everybody's out for themselves. And even if you want to help someone, you're very curious and mistrusting of other people because we think they're all out for themselves too. We don't get this unity stuff. Thirdly, we don't understand the Trinity because we don't know what a really good father looks like. Not all of you had good fathers. And it's very hard to trust an invisible father when your visible one was not very loving or trustworthy. And then the rest of us fathers, we realize, are just sad failures when we look at the scriptures and see what the Lord expects us to be. The family, mothers and fathers working together to raise God-loving children, was supposed to be a picture of God and his great love for our souls. But we have so messed up that picture. When we examine ourselves honestly and see what we were supposed to be, it really drives us to repentance. God have mercy on me, a sinner. It also then allows us to be patient with and to forgive other people. I'm no saint, so why would I expect you to be perfect? In Christ's forgiveness, we can forgive the failures of our mothers and our fathers. And we can look at each other through eyes of forgiveness and then realize how truly great our Heavenly Father must be. It's truly amazing that he would love and save us and want us to be with him in his paradise. See, the greatness of our Heavenly Father is that he loved us sinners and that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to suffer and to die and to rise again, all for us. And then he also sent his Holy Spirit through word and sacraments to convince us that we are saved through this Jesus. Again, the Trinity working together in unity to save us. So on this special day, we are revealed as truly thankful people. Thankful for what the Lord has done for us. Thankful for all the blessings he has given us in the past, especially our families. Thankful for the blessings that he gives us yet today. But most of all, thankful for the salvation given to us through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our God and our Savior. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.